Hello, everybody. My name is Sayed Mamoun, and this is Ron's Gotta Talk for Wednesday, 22nd of December, 2021. And today's episode, surprisingly enough, unlike the previous episode, we're obviously halfway through the week, and we've got plenty of things to talk about. The folks behind the Essential Phone, for example, are launching who've kind of created the Essential Phone that actually discontinued a few years later. Now they've come back together and they've created a unique phone that I think we're definitely going to talk about that is essentially privacy-based, which is interesting given what we have in the market. And obviously, lots of things about phones. And Tesla's gotten into trouble, you could say, within NHTSA, you know, the National Highway Traffic Safety Association, basically U.S. Car regulator over the ability to play games while the car is driving, which is pretty crazy. I was surprised to hear that. But yeah, we got plenty of things to talk about, so let's get rolling, shall we? First up, going on from our previous episode about the Realme GT 2 Pro and the Galaxy S22, which is coming pretty much in the next couple of months. First, we've got to talk about the S22 Ultra. The folks over at Let's Go Digital, the Dutch blog, pretty much that posts renders of patents, have obtained a leaked poster of the Galaxy S22 Ultra, reportedly showing the design of the phone from the outside, really, which obviously from the rear, from the back. And it's pretty interesting. The S22 Ultra kind of looks like what the Note 22 should have been, you know, if the Note 22 Ultra was around, weirdly enough. So we have two phones. Now, I posted on my Instagram. If you're not on Instagram, do follow me there, at @sayed_mamoun99. I posted also over there the leaked poster. I think it was Ben Geskin who posted it. But obviously, Let's Go Digital have essentially this poster. And it purportedly shows, on one hand, the S22 Ultra in this kind of pink, maroonish color, with all the camera bezels kind of seeing flush with a bit of a bump. But again, it's not separated. It's like cohesive. Again, it kind of looks like the Note 22, if that was still around, if they still made Galaxy Notes, that is. That's pretty interesting. And obviously it shows the S Pen on the side, which is obviously something interesting to talk about. And on next to it is the S22, potentially. The S22, which is, again, in silver color. And again, it looks just like the S21 of this past year. And it's surprising to see how quickly this year has passed by, if you know what I'm talking about. So, now there's not much we could kind of confirm from this poster, but this is leaked, so this will probably be how the S22 series will shape up. So the Ultra will have a unique design, again, looking a little bit of a spiritual successor to the Galaxy Note, in a way. And the S22 and the S22 Plus could pretty much look the same as the S22. Or the other way around, the S22 will kind of look like the S21, the regular spec and the Plus. Hope I didn't screw that up. So this is interesting. Let's hopefully the S22 will come out in February. That's what I've read. So that's interesting nonetheless. And speaking of which, about the Realme GT2 series now, not the Pro. There's the GT2 and then the GT2 Pro. We've known a lot. This will be Realme's first phone with the Snapdragon 8 Gen 1 chip, which is interesting. And we've talked all about it. You can check out previous episodes if you're interested. Interesting enough, Realme have now announced that they're launching in China the GT2 series on 4th of January 2022. One of the first phones you can get to buy in the new year, sort of. And probably before the new Chinese New Year, which is interesting nonetheless. There's nothing interesting to talk about, but they're dropping it on the 4th of January. I was thinking they were going to pull it before the new, they were going to pull in the launch of this device before the new year, which would be interesting, purportedly. So that's pretty cool, nonetheless. I mean, if we got to talk about phones, Honor, and I saw this on their Instagram story. They posted a teaser for the Honor Magic Wii, with the letter Wii, or the Latin alphabet for 5, if that's the saying. The Magic the Honor Magic Wii, which apparently, according to them, is their very first folding phone. Again, we're already starting to see lots of folding phones come out. Oppo has already dropped its foldable, which again looks interesting and quite promising with the design in question. Why do I burp when I talk? This is strange. But this is, again, Honor's very first foldable. And it's interesting given that, again, it's not been a while since they've been split from Huawei. So it's really interesting, nonetheless. They're kind of like the announcements. So that's pretty cool, nonetheless. Now we gotta talk about the good stuff now. Now we really gotta talk about all the other goodies that we have today. First up, the Realme 9 series. So we talked in a previous episode already about the Realme 9 series, which is a very interesting set of mid-range phones already. And again, Realme's flagship line, in my own opinion, the lineup, main lineup that has brought the brand to what it is, one of the fastest growing phone brands in the world, in a way. And we now have information about the 9 Pro Plus and 9i. So the first tidbit, strangely enough, the 9i, apparently, it will have a 5,000 mAh battery with 33-watt fast charging built in. Because, again, it's been certified by the CQC. I don't know what... This is coming out of Vietnam, so this could be the Vietnamese certifying authority, the CQC, I think. Let me do a quick Google search and, just keep you in. Hang on. I'm sure it's the... Could it? I don't know. But... Oh, well, it's probably... It seems like it's been certified in Vietnam, so we're getting this information in a way. And so the 9i will have a big battery and will probably have fast charging. On the flip side, the 9 Pro Plus will have 65-watt fast charging, a 50-megapixel rear camera, and a 60-megapixel selfie camera from the front. That last one was rumored. Man, I gotta do my research in advance. It's so hard when you don't script this stuff up. I mean, you kind of go on the fly. It's just, that's interesting. We don't know much about these phones. So this could happen. I mean, this is a possibility. It may or may not happen. We'll probably never know, really. It might happen. That's what I'm trying to say. I'm not assuring it. I'm not trying to assure you of, not trying to be certain, to be exact on the point, that is. Alrighty, so next up, we got to talk about that phone that I obviously mentioned early on. So a bunch of employees from Essential Products that created the Essential phone that was supposed to basically change the world and change how phones were. It was helmed by the former founder of Android, who worked at Google, obviously. But there was probably allegations against him, and he kind of left the spotlight, and obviously the company sort of fell behind. I mean, still remember how Essential made quite a promising phone, but obviously, and they had wanted a second version, but it kind of fell by, and it again discontinued and all. And now a bunch of employees from Essential Products have come together and created a brand new company, essentially. And basically, it's called Awesome Products, that is helmed by the former head of R&D, Jason Keats, who set out to essentially create privacy-focused products that, it's not about companies running in and taking all sorts of data about who you are and what you do and what you have and all. And obviously, it seems like the folks behind Awesome Products are probably annoyed at the current state of privacy on modern phones, both Android and probably iPhone at this point. And they want to create something that is apparently where they want to create a phone essentially that is premium, obviously, that has all the bells and whistles, but at the same time has privacy and security features that are basically, quote, 100-fold more powerful than Android's existing privacy indicators, which is interesting in a way. So it's pretty interesting. Now, we don't know much about the phone. We don't know how much it'll cost. Again, according to a bunch of reports, they're claiming, based on his interviews, it claims they'll be under $1,000. And they're going to announce it at Mobile World Congress in February, hopefully, if that happens. Assuming Omicron does not go in and bust everything up into pieces, then this could be a promising phone. It could be a worthy challenger to, say, Samsung or OnePlus in that segment, in that end of the market, interestingly. So that, in case you're curious, it's got a flat back plate. It's got a rear-facing fingerprint sensor, like good old phones. Two rear-facing cameras, weirdly, instead of four or five. It ran on a Qualcomm Snapdragon chip. Obviously, they did not disclose what chip processor it'll carry, what kind of specs there'll be. They're also claiming that the camera will always be good, and they'll figure out the cell reception issues that plagued the essential phone and made it a massive failure in a way. So that is interesting, nonetheless. But yeah, as I said, as I mentioned earlier, they've not really announced full-on specs, but they're going to talk more about it at Mobile World Congress in February. But their plan is to launch it in summer next year. So who knows, they might have the 8 Gen 1, but I think it'll be difficult. But then again, basically, I think their focus is privacy. They're trying to obviously create a phone that has sort of all a good, that performs well, that does everything well, like a typically good phone. But at the same time, it has a lot of focus on privacy that, you know, that you don't see adverts, you're not tracked on what you do, your apps, your usage is not tracked. They're claiming to offer things like a VPN and stuff, which I think would make sense given what they're going for. It's an interesting proposition. And again, they're claiming that they're looking to have tie-ups with carriers in the US and all to get this phone to more and more people. This could work. I don't know. I mean, little startups creating decently good phones, it's a tough proposition because the smartphone industry is a tough nut to crack in a way. If you think about it, really, it's a very complicated. You need a lot of effort. You need a lot of resources. You need to continuously support phones. You got to develop new ones. You got to keep on customers. You got to get new ones. It's very aggressive, and so I think, I mean, obviously they probably have the privacy conscious crowd. They're probably going after that crowd in a way for this phone. So it'll be interesting to see how this fares. And it'll be interesting to see how this phone goes. In case you're curious, it's called the Awesome OV1. It's pretty similar to the PH1, the Essential PH1 in a way. It looks a little nicer than the Essential phone. So that's pretty interesting nonetheless. And speaking of cool devices coming out of Silicon Valley, we got to talk about the Pixel Watch. We previously talked about how Google is planning to create a very own smartwatch because obviously now bought Fitbit. They got Fitbit services support and all that kind of stuff. And now we got more information about the Pixel Watch. First, there is apparently there's a next-gen Google Assistant that'll be offered on Wear OS, basically, which is obviously codenamed Rohan, and essentially be tied into Wear OS 3 in a way. So it'll carry the latest version, the next-gen Google Assistant, which will be a bit faster and will process through queries probably quickly in a way. And again, apparently there's the... Someone was going through the code and they found this little piece of code. I can't show stuff, obviously, but it has the four little Google light bars at the bottom indicating this is the next gen Google Assistant. So again, you could do quite a lot more things compared to the regular cloud-based Google Assistant. It's not a big deal really, but if this is coming on a Pixel Watch, obviously it's a Pixel, so it's got to do things that other smartwatches cannot let you do in a way. And on top of that, the Pixel Watch could purportedly have an Exynos chip. It's not surprising, frankly, because Samsung, obviously, Galaxy Watch 4 has an Exynos chip that's been running Wear OS, the latest version of it, in a way. So it feels highly likely in a way. Obviously, Google's own chips won't go on the Pixel Watch. It'll be difficult. They'll have to shrink it down dramatically and all. So who knows? It could be a Samsung. It could be a Samsung design, and it could be Google. It could be an invention of Google in a way. It could be happening. So that's pretty interesting, in a way, and it's happening because. You know, we've heard about the rumor previously, but on top of that, there was a re-update to the Google app, and it was a mention in the code for Pixel_Experience_Watch. So, I mean, you can't get the Pixel Experience on other watches, so this means that Google is making their very own smartwatch. So, that's pretty interesting, nonetheless. It's not really a significant story, it's not a significant development, but then again, it's something to keep an eye on because, again, it'll be interesting to see how Google's own smartwatch fares, especially one that where I think Fitbit features are available, which would be interesting nonetheless. Alrighty, the next monitor, I saw this and I was surprised. I was like, huh? How can this kind of monitor be a thing? It looks cool. Obviously, CES is next month, and obviously, companies obviously. Some, like LG, are showcasing new products before CES happens. And the next product that I decided to show off today is the LG Dual-Up Monitor. This is apparently a unique productivity workstation monitor for pros everywhere. So it's unique in that essentially combines basically two ultra-wide monitors, essentially the overall up and down sort of, into a single monitor. It's a unique panel, so It's the first you could say monitor that has a 16:18 aspect ratio, completely nearly square. Now it sounds strange, but if you know how to use that square, you can essentially run two programs side by side. So again, it does the job of two ultrawide monitors stacked up, you know, up and down sort of. So it's quite interesting. And LG is known for productivity monitors, so that's pretty interesting. It's got a resolution of 2560 by 2880 pixels, so quad HD resolution ish. If you look at that, so 1440p is you can comfortably do that on this monitor without an issue. But again, the biggest use of it essentially is that you have two monitor. You can run two programs on one monitor, and you don't need to have two different monitors. You don't have to plug different cables. It would be great for laptop users. It would be great for MacBook users, where one cable and you can essentially have another. You can essentially have the equivalency of two whole screens right there, but it's a single monitor. So it's pretty interesting concept. It'll be interesting to see how this fares in real life. But yeah, on top of that, It's got stereo speakers, it's got two HDMI ports, a display port, a USB upstream port, so you can connect it to your computer to allowing you to essentially plug in peripherals, storage devices, and then it goes straight to your computer instead of your monitor. So again, it's a pass-through port. You get two USB ports as a result, so that's pretty interesting. So you could say one USB input and two USB output. So that's pretty interesting nonetheless. And on top of that, they also showed off a brand new ultra-fine monitor, their professional, pro-grade, you know, well-calibrated 4K monitor. And this one is a roughly 32-inch 16:9 monitor. It's apparently the first LG monitor to have an IPS black panel, which apparently will have deeper and more realistic black tones. So probably better HDR. Obviously, this does not have a display HDR certification just yet, so I'll probably back off from saying it's HDR certified, so it is what it is. But yeah, it's another new ultra fine monitor. It's 32 inches. I'll probably get one if it's not too if I could afford it. It looks pretty reasonable. It could be a good monitor for my setup if I ever build one, that is. But these are pretty cool monitors. The Dual-Up is pretty interesting. I mean, LG is pretty creative with these monitors and these displays if you think about it, that is. So it's a very fascinating product, and again, it'll be interesting to see the reaction of attendees if they get to go to CES. That's early next month. So the ultra fine is pretty cool. That's for sure. 32 inches, 4K. It's pretty good, if you ask me. So it's pretty good nonetheless. And we were talking about privacy already, in a way. DuckDuckGo is making their own browser. Shocker. They already made a privacy-focused, we don't actually track you search engine. They're making a browser. How incredible. There already are lots of browsers that say that they care about privacy. Mozilla Firefox, Brave. I've seen lots of adverts for Braves. Have you kind of seen an advert for the Brave browser? It's pretty interesting. It's burning. It lives in my head rent-free. That's for sure. You know, this is a regular old browser, and this is Brave. I mean, it loads quickly without adverts. Okay, I get it. Cool. So DuckDuckGo are creating their very own browser, apparently, and essentially it will run very snappy. It will run very quickly. It's built around OS provided rendering engines. So whatever comes with Windows and Apple's operating Windows or Mac based rendering engines. It won't be built on Chromium, which is what a lot of other browsers are built on, which is interesting. So it's not based on Chromium as it is. So it's going to go for the native OS rendering APIs, which is interesting. So they've probably been able to build up the app very quickly using all those APIs. We don't know how it'll actually work, but again, it will be interesting. The browser is already in a closed beta trial on macOS. They are creating a Windows version, so this will be coming very soon. This is a new piece of software that will definitely be coming out very, very soon. So it's quite exciting to see that DuckDuckGo is creating their very own browser. They kind of care about people's privacy. They probably made a point that they'll offer robust privacy protection. So no misleading warnings or pretty much hidden toggles to let you browse privately or browse without tracking or anything like that. It'll be quite straightforward, so that's pretty cool. Regardless, as I said, I kind of use a regular browser. I use Safari, I use Chrome, whatever is kind of convenient. I kind of do know my data is used for a lot of things. I mean, it's not used against me, obviously. It's used for some functions. I mean, and I'm quite clear about it. But obviously, if you are quite privacy focused, definitely be on the lookout for the DuckDuckGo browser when it comes out. It'll probably be out by next year, hopefully, given how quickly products are shipped out in Silicon Valley. And finally, we're turning on to Tesla. So the NHTSA, or the National Highway Traffic Safety Authority or Association or Authority, the U.S. Traffic Regulator, kind of stand to be corrected here, the Traffic Regulator for Traffic and Safety, have announced that they're launching an official investigation into Tesla. Because Tesla essentially launched a functionality called Passenger Play. And I'll quote their statement here. The National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, that's the actual name, the NHTSA, said its preliminary evaluation covers various 2017 to 2022 model year Tesla Model 3 S, X, and Y vehicles. This functionality, referred to as Passenger Play, may distract the driver and increase the risk of a crash. That's what the authority has actually said, with quoting, again, responding to Reuters questions. So basically, they're essentially investigating equivalency about 580,000 vehicles out there that can do passenger play, which, now, in case you're kind of curious, Tesla's let you play video games, a whole range of video games. Now, that feature came out a few years ago, but the way it worked was if you were parked and you were charging, you could access Tesla Arcade. So this is referencing to Tesla Arcade. But what Tesla has obviously now done is offered a new functionality where the passenger to the right of you or the back of the car can play games, but on the actual main display. And now what NHTSA's concern is that main display, the driver could keep looking at the person who's playing the game and be distracted, and the car can flip over and crash, and again, a disaster waiting to happen. That's what the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration are thinking here. That's what they're thinking going here, and that's why they're investigating the functionality. I mean, obviously, Tesla wants to offer more software functionality, more services. And so, but yeah, this could be dangerous, letting people play games while the car is driving around. So that's pretty interesting, in a way. So it's, again, it's quite fascinating. We'll see how this fares. I think Tesla will probably get a bit of a reprimand, or you can say they'll get reprimanded, or they'll probably be told by the regulators to kind of disable this functionality or chuck it off in another software update to prevent more danger to drivers and passengers alike. So that's pretty interesting, nonetheless. I mean, I shouldn't care, but then again, it's pretty interesting that that they're being investigated for something that I think people should be a bit obvious, you know. If you are driving a Tesla, I mean, you should probably look away from the screen at that point. But yeah, it's pretty strange. And on the flip side, this is after probably Tesla released a holiday update, version 2021.44.25, which adds a whole bunch of features. So if I read over the release notes here, that is, if I could open Reddit. Why this stuff takes time to open. Okay, so this brand new update adds a whole bunch of functions. So you got a new light show, you got a customizable app tray, you got simplified controls, you got a blind spot camera already, the TikTok app is available in the Tesla Theater, you can edit waypoints, and you can get to play the Battle of Polytopia in multiplayer, and Sonic the Hedgehog. Sonic is on a Tesla, you know, gotta run fast. Tesla's already drive like a sports car. You might as well play Sonic the Hedgehog. And Scooby-Doo. And this is under improvements, which is interesting, weirdly. So let's just kind of go through all these new features. So the first is light show. So you can open the toy box app or function. You tap light show. You follow the instructions, and it'll do a whole light. The Tesla car will do a whole light show, similar to what you can do on the Model X, which was like an Easter egg. So if you pressed a bunch of buttons, the Falcon wing doors will start flapping, and the lights will start blinking and everything. So that's pretty cool, and again, in time for the holiday season. Another one is being able to customize the app launcher, so you can now move around buttons that matter. So if you want climate controls at the first as the first option, along with radio and Spotify and all, you can do that. And if you want the theater to come along with it, you could do that too. So that's pretty cool. And again, more customization, the better. Now you can manually enable dark mode, which is pretty cool over here. And now have simplified controls in a way. So for example, if you want to know about windshield wipers, you can click on controls. If you want to know about trip and odometer information, which is in the computer itself, so it's not on the dashboard, but if on the top main display, and click controls and then trips, and it'll show you all that information right over there. So that's pretty cool, in a way. And also now you can automatically get to see the blind spot camera when you activate the turn signal. So that's pretty cool, nonetheless. And about the gaming and entertainment, if you got Tesla Theater, which is available on all Teslas in a way, when you park and you can watch stuff on it. Now you can watch TikTok on top of Disney Plus, Hulu, I think Prime Video and Netflix and YouTube, which is and Twitch. Wow, that's a lot of services. Tesla, it's cool to see Tesla make quite cool cars where you could do a lot more than listen to music and your playlists and your podcast. So that's pretty awesome. So now if you want to watch TikTok and you definitely have an account, you can definitely do that. And I think it would run quickly because it has an HTML5 browser also. So that's pretty cool. And on top of that, they've added Scooby-Doo, Sudoku. I don't know how you pronounce it. I think it's Sudoku. And Sonic the Hedgehog, which is, again, pretty cool. Gotta go fast. I'm sure it was Elon Musk's request. That's why they offered Sonic the Hedgehog. I'm sure someone tweeted Elon, like, hey, you should definitely add Sonic to the Tesla arcade. And he's like, yeah, sure. And it happens, so that's pretty cool, nonetheless. And on top of ridiculously minor updates, now you have automatic seat heaters, so So according to the listing, first row seat holder heaters can now automatically regulate seat temperature based on cabin environment and the climate control set temperature. So that's pretty interesting update. Again, it's not a game changing, it's not going to change the world, but again, nice to have updates, which is pretty cool in a way. It's a good update for the holiday season. For a lot of Tesla car owners, you could technically say for the software, a kind of Christmas gift, you know? So if you want to feel like a kid on Christmas morning and you're like, wow, new features, then if you have a Tesla, then go update it now. If it's already updated, then yeah, give it a try. So that's pretty cool. Nonetheless, you know, so it's nice to have these software features. This is what makes Tesla different from, say, your Ford or Toyota, or different from Toyota, where they charge a subscription to let you do remote start from your key fob. Whereas Tesla, that's available from the app. And you don't need a subscription. You already paid for it, right? And the car's cost. So you can just open it in the app and it will start from there too. So Tesla gives you software that you can use for free, unlike other car makers like Toyota or BMW. So software updates are probably why Teslas are pretty cool, in my own opinion. I probably want to get one over, say, a Taycan or probably a BZ4X. Do you call it the BZ4X? Yeah, I think it's the BZ4X. It's like Toyota's like crossover that's all electric. I'd still get the Model Y, which I think is, again, it's a pretty cool car. These are the little things that make it unique in a way. It's a pretty good update. It's a pretty good gift, you could say, in a way. So yeah. What do you think of everything you ever heard today? Let me know. I'm on Instagram and Twitter and TikTok at @Sayed_Mount99. Follow me there if you can. Subscribe to the show wherever you're listening to podcasts right now. If you're on Apple Podcasts, leave a review. That'll definitely help. Share this to your friends and family as much as you can. And yeah, till next week. This is Ibarman signing out. Stay safe. Take care. And yeah, if you are aware of Omicron spreading, stay at home if you can and get vaccinated if you probably already haven't, or wear a mask if you can. But yeah, stay safe. Take care. I said the wrong way. Take care. Stay safe wherever you are and wherever you're up to. Have a wonderful day. All right. This is Ibarman signing out. Thank you for listening. And yeah, have a great day. All right. Ciao.